All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we've got an awesome guest on the line this week. I've been searching for someone like this for months because I'll give away the topic. We're going to be speaking about training for endurance events or training for endurance. And in the fitness industry, it's so easy to find anything on resistance training. There's a million people that do it. You know, anything on bodybuilding, there's a million people that do it. But someone that's good at programming and training for endurance, it's harder to find. And I found one of the best here. So a little bit about this person. She is a running coach. She's a personal trainer. And she's a podcast host of the very popular podcast, Peak Endurance, which I recommend everyone checking out. All the way from Melbourne, it's the one and only Isabel Ross. Isabel, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for inviting me on today. I'm very excited to chat about endurance.
Thank you for coming on. I'm excited to chat about it. Before we get into the conversation about programming and endurance, let us know a little bit about you, Isabel. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? How'd you get into it?
Well, as you said, I'm based here in Melbourne. And back in the day, I used to be a mountain biker. I used to be a cyclist. And then that morphed eventually into running. And during that time, I became qualified as a personal trainer as well. And the more I got into running, the more, you know, you get addicted, as you do. And so I became a running coach. I did the Athletics Victoria standard sort of recreational running coach. And then I've also done specific ultra endurance running coaching courses and just a variety of different ones, and also a sports nutritionist as well. So because, you know, there's a lot of nutrition involved with endurance athletics. And so that's basically what I do. And I run ultras and long distance as well. I started at, you know, marathons and have gone
Because that's interesting. I started, you know, marathons. Like for most people, that's the end goal. You know, it's like, if I can run a marathon, it's great. Isabel's like, yeah, I started running 42 Ks.
Yeah. And that 42 Ks is just a training run for me. So
yeah. Awesome. But, and your business at the moment, Isabel, like are you based at a gym? You're outdoor, you're online? Is it?
No, I'm purely online. So I write programs for my clients, and they can choose if they may have a run only program. I can also do run and strength, because obviously as a PT, I can do that, you know, and it all goes out on an app with I've created videos of all the exercises, and I do all of that with my clients too. But basically it's all online, and so I work with athletes from all over Australia. I have a couple of overseas clients. Yeah. So it's really good. I mean, I love it, obviously. Yeah,
it's great. And these level of athletes, are these kind of, like professional athletes? Are they general public? Are they like general public doing the fun runs? What is it, all of the above? What's your clientele at the moment?
I've just put on like two new runners complete, you know. I mean, they're not beginners, but they've both come off a big break. So we're having to build their kilometers and build their strength, because I'm giving them strength training as well. So I've got those kind of people, you know, starting right from the beginning, to people who are training for 100-mile races and who have been running for years. And
What's the start? Like, is a marathon the start point, or would you, if someone's like, hey, I want to run City to Surf, is that too short?
Yeah, I mean, I train some people for, you know, half marathons.
Yep, gotcha.
I train people for marathons. I train all distances, basically. Yep. I've done the study for all of them. I've raced all of them. So I have both, you know, the both perspectives, the research knowledge perspective, but I've also got the personal knowledge as well. So yeah,
love it.
I coach all levels and all distances.
All ages too?
And all ages, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I've got some quite young clients. One of the boys I coach is 14 and he's done 100K racing and things. Yep, I train a 16-year-old.
What's the oldest?
The oldest? Oh, probably not that old, really.
Yeah.
50s to 60s, which in ultra endurance racing is not that old. One of my clients, 52, he just broke the Australian record because he was actually doing walking. So I coach for walking as well. 48-hour walk, and he broke the Australian male record for that. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Let me get him on the podcast. I should have got him on the podcast, right?
Don't worry, I interviewed him.
Awesome. All right. So, and also for everyone listening, as Isabel's based online, if you're interested in endurance events yourself, I'll put Isabel's details down in the show notes. You can, you know, check out what she does. And also your clients. Maybe you're listening to this, you're a personal trainer, you're like, I don't really want to write, you know, programs for endurance, but your clients want them, feel free to refer on to Isabel as well. I'll put the details down below. All right, well, let's speak about the programming and let's keep it simple because most people listening to this aren't going to be at your level, right? They're kind of like personal trainers working at a gym, mainly doing strength-based stuff, and they'll get the odd client that says, I want to do CD to surf or whatever. Where do we start? What's the first thing we need to consider when programming for something like that?
Well, firstly, we're not looking at, with the strength work, we're not looking at increasing their endurance with the strength work.
Okay.
They do that with their running or their cycling or whatever it is, or their swimming. So we're trying to build strength to enable them to build their kilometers.
All right. Sorry, Isabel, the internet just cut out there for a sec. So you said if you're doing strength training with that person, we're not trying to squeeze the endurance in the strength. They'll get their endurance out of the runs or the bikes or whatever they're doing. You were saying that?
Yes, exactly. Now, obviously, we want to make sure, you know, so heavy is good, but before we go to heavy, you want to make sure that obviously form is correct and all that sort of stuff. So you'll work up the weights. But what I'm getting at is once they're proficient at the actual movements that you are training them on, don't be scared of going heavy with them because heavy builds really good strength for power and speed. Because although they're endurance athletes, they still need power and speed. Think, you know, sprinting up a hill, overtaking another competitor, those sorts of things. And not only that, but it's good to have all of the different gears in the, available to the athlete. They don't just want to be able to go long and slow. That is not the pure goal. So, you know, do some heavy work. And like I said, I like to periodize strength training as well, and also combine a few different elements in their strength training. As an endurance athlete, they're spending a lot of time doing their sport, so they want to be sure that their muscles can sustain that, and not just the actual muscles, but all the balancing, you know, the microfibers involved in all the balancing and that sort of stuff. So I do balance work in the gym with my clients. So, you know, let's say, a Bulgarian split squat, you would have, say, the front leg on an upside down Bosu ball with the back leg on the bench, those sorts of things, squats on an upside down Bosu ball with a kettlebell. So that's once you've done the heavy work, then you move to those sorts of things as well. I will also include isometrics. Isometrics are great for endurance athletes because it really gets them to focus on the particular muscle. Yeah. And as we all know, it's really important doing strength work to engage the brain, most of all, to be able to engage the muscle group. So once I will get them to, you know, hold a particular exercise for a minute, and that really gets them to focus on the particular muscle group. And then you move that over to balance. So that same Bulgarian split squat, they will hold in the lowered position for a minute, which when you're balancing is really hard work and holding weights. So all these little things are different ways, because we can all just do standard weights, you know, but endurance athletes need a bit more than that. They're already doing training that is highly repetitive, whether it's running, cycling or swimming, it's highly repetitive. So they need something that is a little less repetitive and works muscles in a slightly different way so that you can really get deep into making those muscles strong for their sport and for and holding it, as you know, an exercise for a minute. That's quite a bit of endurance, but endurance in a different way than the repetitive motion.
Yeah, 100%. And so good for like injury prevention, right?
Absolutely. And and the balance and the isometric, so good for injury prevention, which obviously, as we know, endurance athletes, particularly runners, but cyclists and swimmers, I mean, you think shoulders, you know, they are quite prone to those injuries from repetitive movements. But then you think runners as well, like the balance, like if you're running, I'm a trail runner, so I might be on the trail, but even I've twisted an ankle running on the roads when you jump off off a curb the wrong way, you know. I mean, I haven't twisted it, but you feel it go down. And if you don't have good strength within, say, the ankle, then you're going to probably hurt yourself. So that's where, you know, you get, once again, then I also do mobility. I would suggest mobility work, you know, getting out those balance boards and doing backwards and forwards. And there is so much variety that you can do with an endurance athlete. So, but I'll go back to the strength work because, you know, like,
let's even go back a step even further. Let's say, and let's use City to Surf as an example.
And let's
maybe say 12 weeks. Would that be kind of like a time frame where someone would come to a trainer and be like, hey, I'm going to run the City to Surf in 3 months' time. You know, can you write me a program now? Would that be kind of a rough? So even with that, what would kind of the balance be as a trainer where you're like, right, you're going to, you know, come into the gym and do strength X days, you're going to do runs either on the treadmill or outside X days. How do you sort of balance that?
Okay, so let's say, you know, you've got 12 weeks.
Yep.
Obviously, you're not going to have enough time to do a full periodization of the strength work. Mm. So I would just be ensuring that they've, you know, they've got the basics for that. I would be doing some overspeed and underspeed training. So overspeed would be getting them maybe to do some hill sprints.
Gotcha.
You know,
And just because I'm not familiar with those terms, am I right in saying overspeed would be running
would be more sort of on a downhill, and underspeed would be up the hill.
So
you're going slower up the hill, but that develops a lot of strength going up the hill, and then they jog very easily because what we're looking for here is neuromuscular adaptations. So you would be doing that sort of thing. And when you're doing the overspeed downhill, once again, it wouldn't be on too steep a gradient. You've got to be careful to avoid injury. But teaching the legs to go faster, especially something like City to Surf, because it starts on a downhill. Everybody goes for the sprint, which is not necessarily the best tactic. But, you know, you need your athlete to be able to run up and downhill. So you need to train them to run up and downhill. So you'd need a little bit of that work sprinkled in with the strength work that I would probably, when it's a 12-week program for something like City to Surf, I'd probably start more on sort of functional work rather than going for the real heavy. And you know, if they're strength training, let's say twice a week, then I would do one with functional, one with balance and isometrics and those sorts of things.
By functional, do you mean like kettlebells or what do you mean?
Yeah, you know, and trying to do one-legged stuff and that sort of stuff. You think about running, it's basically a one-legged sport.
Yeah, good point.
You know, and even cycling, like really, you know, one leg is pushing at a time, the other's pulling. So, you know, you've got to think about those sorts of things, you know, if it was a cyclist, but we're talking about City to Surf. But, you know, so therefore you'd be doing sort of more one-legged stuff. And, you know, the overspeed and underspeed, another way of doing it is like if you're going to the parking lot of the gym or whatever and put a band around their waist and get them to run while you're holding the band and they're running against the band. That's really developing good strength and explosiveness in them because, once again, City to Surf, there's that nice Heartbreak Hill that is notorious for, you know, really taking it out of people, especially if they've hammered down the hill at the start, because going fast downhill smashes out the quads, which makes climbing hills harder. Mm. So doing those sorts of things, the band around the waist while they run, pulling against the band, those sorts of different tactics with the weights itself as well. And you mustn't forget things like drills and plyometrics. Now, drills are just standard running drills. You can look them up. You know, high knee running, high knee skipping. So these are all teaching really good push off off the feet, you know, good elasticity for running, and it helps with running form, you know, pogo jumps, all those sorts of things. If you just add, you only need to do a couple of minutes of those sorts of things. You don't need a whole heap, just to help them with, because when they're doing all their running training, they're not developing those that necessarily that really fast twitch muscle fibers, which you do need to be working as well, because when the slow twitch muscles do start to fatigue, which is what you mainly use, you start recruiting other muscle fibers, and you want to make sure that they're all well trained. Okay. So, and like I said, you know, they might be wanting to beat a time, and so they want to sprint to the finish, or they see a friend and they want to beat their friend from the run club or something like this, you know. So they even runners who run long distance, like I said, I train people for 100 miles, they still do speed work twice a week. Okay. So let me even go further back a step here.
So let's say this person, let's say City to Surf's probably still a good example. So let's say they're doing two gym sessions a week. How many then run sessions would you recommend that person's doing on their own to prep for that?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Well, I mean, that's a really hard one to answer, because it depends on their schedule.
On their schedule as well, right?
And not just their schedule, but where they're coming from, their history. Yeah. Now, I have some clients who run 6 days a week. I have some that run seven. I have some that run 3 to 4.
Yep.
But I generally believe you need to run 5 to 6 days a week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, for injury prevention.
Yeah.
Running is a high impact sport.
Yeah.
And so when I say it only has to be maybe 5 or 6 Ks on one or two of those days. It doesn't have to be long.
You're not doing 14 Ks every day for 6
Yeah, no, no, no. It's more getting that consistency in of the pounding on the legs, because if you have too many days off, it's really hard for the body to adapt. Mm. And it just doesn't get used to it, because running, like I said, it's a high impact sport, and you can't just go full on for 2 or 3 days and then have 4 days off and expect that the body is going to cope with that. It won't.
Gotcha.
It will get injured. So it's the consistency. Consistency is the key. So some of my clients, like I said, who are fairly beginner runners, they're having 3 rest days a week, but some of their days, it's only 5 Ks.
Yeah.
Other days it might be 7 Ks, you know, and then as I slowly will build their kilometres, those runs will get a little bit longer, and then I might add an extra day, taking away a rest day, but that will become a very short day as well.
Gotcha.
So with something like running, you need, but with any endurance sport, the best way to get fit for running is to run. The best way to get fit for cycling is to cycle, swimming. The other work that we do in the gym is to support their ability to do that amount of running or cycling or whatever it is.
Love it. Okay. Question. Treadmill versus outdoor. So say you are running City to Surf. It's middle of winter over here in Sydney. Is treadmill okay? Or do you recommend, you got to get out and do the road?
I recommend getting out and doing the road. The treadmill is okay, especially say for a beginner runner.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be doing the race on the treadmill. You're going to be doing the race outdoors, and the ground is different, and it's varying and undulating, and it's different feel underneath the foot. You've got wind, and you don't want the first time to be contending with a headwind when you're doing the race. Like, you've got to learn how to deal with that. And I recommend training in the rain, because the race might be raining.
Yeah,
and you need to discuss these things with your clients. If they go, but it's raining, I'm going to train inside. But what do you reckon race day might be?
Yeah.
You know, and race day might be cold. And there's no such thing as bad weather. There's only bad clothing.
Yeah, good point. Okay, Cool. Yeah. So there's some good tips there. That's given me a good like overview there where it's like, all right, we're going to spend at least a couple of days in the gym because that's going to help us there. We're going to run ideally most days of the week. We might have a day or two off, maybe a bit more if you're beginning. Those running days are probably going to be outside. And we won't get too much into the actual running side of it because I'm guessing more a running coach side of things. So let's go back into the gym. I think you originally mentioned if someone's training twice a week, you said one day is more functional and one day is more strength. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So basically more functional going, using some of the movements that they would use in their sport, strengthening the movements.
Gotcha.
And then working on things like balance or isometrics. I even like to do some, once if they're strong enough, this has got to be something if they're really strong enough, something like complex training where, you'll do some squats and then straight after the squats, they'll do some squat jumps.
Mm.
Okay. So that's teaching their body to be strong and then do some explosive training as well. So a little bit of that, you know, doing a chest press, then doing some plyometric push-ups.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Overhead press and then getting the weighted medicine ball and throwing and catching it. That sort of stuff. That's good to do coming in closer to the race because we're getting more specific and we want them to be able to have that explosive speed. It's good for, like I said, for power and speed, which is a component of endurance. People, the biggest battle I have with people is that they think endurance is just slow. Yeah. And we've got to train the whole body and the whole athlete. And to be good at endurance, you need to have the whole body trained, and that includes all systems and not just the long, slow endurance one.
Gotcha. Now, let me get my head around these say, sample two gym sessions. Are you training kind of different ones in each session, or is it much the same session plan for both of those two
you
sessions?
You mean exercise-wise?
Yeah, say exercise-wise, but also like goal-wise. Like both of those sessions, mainly we're focusing functional training. It's not like we're saying, hey, one's a bit more functional, but then here we're going to go heavier or...
No. I would still go basically functional for those.
For both of them?
If you've got 6 months, I would start off with heavy at the start.
Okay.
But when it's only 12 weeks, I think you've got to move into more the sort of the functional stuff.
Gotcha.
So 6 months out, I would have 2 months of good, solid, heavy work.
Gotcha.
With only 12 weeks, because their run training is going to be getting more focused as well, and they don't want to have the heavy work can give them heavy legs, which can take away from their running as well. So that's the issue with the strength training is you want it to support the running, not take away from the running, because they're training for running, not training for strength training.
Yeah,
so,
good point.
That's what you've got to keep in mind. Personally, for me, I like my clients, like if they're doing a quality session, like some sort of speed work, I like them to do the strength training on the same day. So the quality session in the morning, the strength training later in the day, so that their easy days stay easy. So that would be something you might want to talk about with the client as well, is when are they doing quality sessions, so that you're not doing a strength training session with them on Tuesday night and they're doing a speed session Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Because you need to take that into consideration. Sure, you're only seeing them for Tuesday night, but you've got to look at their overall program. You need to maybe see their run program as well, to make sure that you are, helping with that.
Got it. Awesome. All right. Well, speak to me about nutrition, Isabel. And let's do this one even super simple, because most people listening to this aren't going to be sports nutritionists, right?
No.
So for those people listening, this isn't nutrition advice that you would give. This is just Isabel, who's a sports nutritionist. She's going to give us some general tips that will help either with your own training or with your clients. What can you tell us about nutrition for endurance events, and both for the training maybe, and also for the event as well?
Yeah, well, for training, let's say, if your clients, obviously they need to eat well, it can be a bit of a difficulty in endurance sports because it's often based on aesthetics. People are like, the thinner you are, the better runner you're going to be. But, it's a law of diminishing returns as well. Mm. So if your client, you need to talk about if they're eating before their quality sessions, they need to eat before their quality sessions. If you know that the next morning they're just going out for a short, easy run, then they probably don't need to worry about eating before that. That's okay. Fine. But quality sessions or longer runs, they do need to eat before. They also need to train their stomach to eat during the race. Now, something like City to Surf, you probably don't need a heap. Maybe.
Would you even eat during City to Surf? Oh, I guess so, yeah. And you got
maybe
those.
I mean, I've done it before and I don't think I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it depends on how long someone's going to take to do it as well.
Yeah, true.
But certainly, say, let's say a half marathon.
Yeah.
If someone's training for a half marathon, they will want to have practiced what their breakfast is before the half marathon, because you don't want to try something and then go, oh, that repeats on me.
Yeah.
You need to train before their training runs what they're going to eat. Then during the race itself, I mean, I think for a half marathon, you'd want to take a gel during it, at least one. Certainly, I know when you're running fast, you're burning more carbs. So the faster you're running, the more you need. When I was running fast, I was taking a gel every 20 minutes in a marathon, which sounds disgusting, and it was, but it really did help. And, you know, that's what, yeah, I mean, that's what enabled me to run a relative, not super fast. You know, it was sub 3 hour, but it wasn't like, you know, Olympic level or anything like that. But it was fast for me. But you need, the faster and harder you're running, the more you're going to need some carbs to supplement that. So that's one thing to look at. The other thing is, of course, is fluid. And you know, there's all these reports. We've got to be careful of not overhydrating. But by the same token, we don't want to underhydrate. So it's a real fine line there. But you know, definitely for half marathon and up, I would suggest a gel during the race. For a marathon, I would suggest a couple of gels. Once again, it depends, you know, if your client is looking at doing a 4 to 5 hour marathon, you can't expect that they would be out there with nothing to eat for 4 to 5 hours. You probably wouldn't do that when you're just sitting around at home. So they need something, and they definitely need fluids, which may be over and above what is at the aid stations. But that's something that they need to be testing on their runs as well, but definitely need to eat before a race, absolutely. But they need to test that in training first.
Gotcha.
And I would suggest, you know, something fairly simple, like the good old standard of, say, toast with peanut butter and jam. So you're getting, you know, the carbs, but a bit of fat with the peanut butter to slow down the release of the carbs into the body, you know, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Great. Well, there's some great tips there, Isabel. There's a couple of questions I always like to finish off the podcast with. The first one is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there that are doing endurance racing. I'd love to hear who your mentors were, and ideally people that the listeners can follow along as well. So if you can answer this in three different ways, if you could give us like a paid mentor, so maybe like a coach that you've hired or you've done their course or whatever it is, an unpaid mentor, someone that you haven't paid, but they post on social media, you get some tips from their Instagram or their podcast, whatever it is, and a book that you recommend everyone should read if they're going to start doing endurance events. So mentors, paid, unpaid, and book.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I many years ago when I first started, you know, getting into running, I had a friend, Peter Mitchell. People probably don't know him, but he was actually like a very fast Australian marathoner. And he coached me for free though. And he helped me a lot, and he gave me so much knowledge to start me off. As I got into ultras, a friend called Nikki Wind, she's an amazing Australian athlete who's got the Australian record in 48-hour running. She's won Badwater, which is a huge race over in America. And she's given me lots of personal tips on you know, running ultras, like when I was starting off and those sorts of things. I mean, I don't know if anyone listening would particularly know these people, because they're, you know, it's a very niche sport. And you know, no, books, holy moly, I think I've read all the books. So I don't know the titles off by heart. I think Stacey, it Stacey Sims?
Oh, yeah.
She's awesome. All her books are great, especially if you're coaching women. And, you know, running tends to attract women. So, you know, that they're always good books to read and to fully understand how women's bodies cope with exercise. I've read, there's this really good mental toughness book, but I can't remember the title of it because it was more a collection of articles. I'll give that to you. Maybe you can put that in the show notes, but I can't remember the title.
Yeah.
I've read so many books. You know, I started Advanced Marathoning was a really good book as well. Then as you got into the endurance running, a book by Jason Koop, it's about ultra marathoning. What I try to do is read a huge, like find out who the really good, you know, coaches are in those and take little tidbits from everybody, because I don't think there is necessarily one way. I think, because people are so different.
Yeah. And you create your own style from that, right? It's kind of like the Isabel style is a combination of these four or five other people. The bits that I like, I've put in. The bits that I don't like, I put out. And I'll attract the people that like that kind of style there.
Exactly. And you know, and I also find that as I get to know people, I find out what works the best as well, you know, because my coach has changed from when I first started it. And now but it is true. You always will use other people's ideas at first to start with, and then you slowly develop your own ideas and your own understanding from seeing what works and, you know, and what, I mean, everything, it always works, like, you know, but it's more what works best.
Yeah.
And as you get to know your clients really well, you know, you start to learn, because what works best for one client doesn't always work for the other one. So it's really, you know, it's interesting. I find it infinitely fascinating to see how the same principles need to be applied completely differently according to the person that you're working with. And I know all the personal trainers listening to this will be nodding in agreement, because it's something we will see all the time. But it's just fascinating, because the human body is just, I just find it completely fascinating and amazing. And that's why I think we love what we do.
Agree. Final question. So let's say there's a personal trainer listening to this and they want to become a running coach. Is the qualification, it sounded like it was state specific. You did one in Victoria, or is there
Athletics Victoria recreational running, but I'm sure New South Wales has very similar.
Yeah.
So I would just need to go to the athletics.
What's the body? Is there, you know how it's like,
There's Athletics Australia.
Okay.
And there's Athletics Victoria, Athletics New South Wales, I guess. Gotcha. It'll be specific to each state. So Athletics Australia is the overarching one, and then you have your state ones as well. So basically each state will have the recreational running course. From what I understand, it is pretty much similar around the country, because I know coaches in other states. And, you know, I've done other certifications from, you know, overseas, America basically. And they're accessible to anyone. Obviously, you know, all of these courses you have to pay for and those sorts of things. But, you know, it just depends on where you want to go, because running, there's so much to it, you know, like are you training for the 1500, the 5K, the 10K, you know, it's huge. So
that course, so the Run Coach course, does that covers all of that? That covers
The Athletics Victoria is more only up to, say, marathon.
But does it start at 100 meters to marathon, or?
Well, you know, it starts, you know, probably more like 5K and that sort of stuff.
Gotcha. There's a different sprinting. There's probably a specific sprinting coach.
Because recreational running is more sort of that 5K, 10K, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how long was that course, out of curiosity?
Oh, not long. Like you just.
Like a weekend or a
weekend weeks? Kind of thing. Yeah, you've got to do some work at home as well, but you only have to go in for like a day or two. And then it was kind of during between lockdowns, like right at the beginning. So it was kind of a bit split up how I did it. But, you know, you do it and then you do some online work as well, you know, write programs. Yeah. So that took a little while. That took a bit longer. But, you know, you're basically just writing programs for different scenarios and that sort of thing, like you would with any of these sorts of courses. But it's not onerous, let's put it that way, and it gives you your CECs as well.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Whereas the American ones don't give you anything like that. So you know, but that's just, you know, depending how far you want to niche yourself as well.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, Isabel, that's pretty much all I wanted to get through for today. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that are like, all right, I want to follow Isabel. I might, you know, purchase her coaching, or I want to recommend my clients to her. Where do we go? Do we go to your podcast, your Instagram, your website, all of the above?
All of the above. So it's peakendurancecoaching.com.au is the website. Peak Endurance Coaching on Facebook or Instagram. I've gotten a little bit harder to find probably personally because I just got married and changed my name on socials. So it's Isabel Tate now on socials. But
you didn't marry Andrew Tate, did you? Is that you?
Oh, can you imagine? No. but it's still Isabel.r on Insta. And Isabel with an O because I am Scottish. So, yes.
Awesome. And I'll put all those links down in the show notes. Isabel, yes. Anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
No, not particularly. I just think, you know, I really think with endurance sports booming, this is something that personal trainers do need to have a look into more because, you know, people are really getting into these sports and you want to be able to support their training, not be something completely separate to their training. So make sure you're on board with who their other coach is and what their other program is so that you can really work together as a team for that athlete.
Love it. Awesome. All right, Isabel, thanks for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Fitness Education Podcast. Before you leave, here's a message from our sponsors.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.